Hub control, Dr. Ernst radioed. Please aim your beam at New York. The night of Rama fell suddenly upon them as the oval of light went sliding out to sea. Conscious of the now invisible cliff at their feet, they all stepped back a few meters. Then, as if by some magical stage transformation, the towers of New York sprang into view. The resemblance to old-time Manhattan was only superficial. This star-born echo of Earth's past possessed its own unique identity. The more Dr. Ernst stared at it, the more certain she became that it was not a city at all. The real New York, like all of man's habitations, had never been finished, still less had it been designed. This place, however, had an overall symmetry and pattern, though once so complex that it eluded the mind. It had been conceived and planned by some controlling intelligence, and then it had been completed, like a machine devised for some specific purpose. After that, there was no possibility of growth or change. The beam of the searchlight slowly tracked along those distant towers and domes and interlocked spheres and crisscrossed tubes. Sometimes there would be a brilliant reflection as some flat surface shot the light back towards them. The first time this happened, they were all taken by surprise. It was exactly as if, over there on that strange island, someone was signaling to them. But there was nothing that they could see here that was not already shown in greater detail on photographs taken from the hub. After a few minutes, they called for the light to return to them and began to walk eastwards along the edge of the cliff. It had been plausibly theorized that somewhere there must surely be a flight of steps or a ramp leading down to the sea. And one crewman, who was a keen sailor, had raised an interesting conjecture.
Where there's a sea, Sergeant Ruby Barnes had predicted, there must be docks and harbors and ships. You can learn everything about a culture by studying the way it builds boats.
Her colleagues thought this a rather restricted point of view, but at least it was a stimulating one. Dr. Ernst had almost given up the search and was preparing to make a descent by rope when Lieutenant Rodrigo spotted the narrow stairway. It could easily have been overlooked in the shadowed darkness below the edge of the cliff, for there was no guardrail or other indication of its presence, and it seemed to lead nowhere. It ran down the 50-meter vertical wall at a steep angle and disappeared below the surface of the sea. They scanned the flight of steps with their helmet lights, could see no conceivable hazard, and Dr. Ernst got Commander Norton's permission to descend. A minute later, she was cautiously testing the surface of the sea. Her foot slithered almost frictionlessly back and forth. The material felt exactly like ice. It was ice. When she struck it with her hammer, a familiar pattern of cracks radiated from the impact point, and she had no difficulty in collecting as many pieces as she wished. Some had already melted when she held up the sample holder to the light. The liquid appeared to be slightly turbid water, and she took a cautious sniff.
"Is that safe?"
Rodrigo called down with a trace of anxiety.
"Believe me, Boris," she answered. "If there are any pathogens around here that have slipped through my detectors, our insurance policies lapsed a week ago."
But Boris had a point. Despite all the tests that had been carried out, there was a very slight risk that this substance might be poisonous or might carry some unknown disease. In normal circumstances, Dr. Ernst would not have taken even this minuscule chance. Now, however, time was short, and the stakes were enormous. If it became necessary to quarantine Endeavor, that would be a very small price to pay for her cargo of knowledge.